It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Farage. You're with us here in the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, opiate abuse is on the rise in Wisconsin and around the country. We'll talk to a reporter about how this problem is affecting the Oneida community here in Wisconsin.
First, Governor Scott Walker signed 46 bills into law yesterday at the state capitol. One of the bills signed was a controversial measure that bans county executives from serving on the state legislature.
Jessie Appoyan is with us to talk about the bills that are now law. She's a state government reporter at the Capital Times. Jesse, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me back on.
Well, sometimes when legislation is signed into law, there's a big ceremony. It's at a factory or some public site. This was a private ceremony, kind of cranking a lot of them out. Does this mean that there wasn't like high-profile sales pitch type stuff here?
Yeah, I mean, there was 46 bills yesterday, and we know actually now because the governor just tweeted a photo of his hand that he's signed 58 more bills today. So it's a packed couple of days getting those bills signed into law.
And there's not really a common theme. This is et cetera, miscellaneous potpourri type legislation, a little bit of everything.
Yeah, definitely. It runs the gamut.
Well, we mentioned that county executive and state legislature, state senate one. It says county executives can't serve in the legislature while they're serving as a county executive. This had one very specific use in mind, didn't it?
It did. It was a very specific use, and the author was Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald, and he made no secret of the source of that bill. He said when Winnebago County Executive Mark Harris launched his candidacy for an open Senate seat, he started thinking about the implications of that. So Mark Harris is a Democrat. He's running for the seat that will be vacated by Rick Gudex, who's a Republican, and he's been Winnebago County Executive for about 10 years. Senator Fitzgerald said he was concerned about the fact that, you know, you could have potentially someone serving in these two positions drawing some pretty lucrative salaries funded by taxpayer dollars, and he wanted to put a stop to that.
So Harris could still run for this office, but if he wins in the Senate, he can't keep that county executive seat. We use the word controversial. How did Democrats respond to this legislation?
Yeah, Democrats were not thrilled, and there are actually a handful of Republicans who voted against it as well. And they just said, you know, this is a cheap shot. This is going after one person. They noted people have, for short times, held the two positions in the past, and I think the idea here was that if Mark Harris were to win, he had suggested that he would stay on for as long as his county executive term would last and not necessarily seek that position again. And some Democrats said, you know, he should be able to do that.
Staying on the theme of fairly specific legislation, towns in one county, Dane County, can now opt out of county zoning laws. So what was the source for that? What was the reasoning to pass that?
That was a few members of the Dane County Towns Association. So they were kind of, the towns were split on this, but a few of the towns in that association said this will offer them more autonomy at the local level, at the town level, to build and grow their tax bases. Those who were against it said this is just going to make it, you know, way too fragmented when it comes to the decisions being made within the county, and could throw off the balance of development within the county. So this bill is not specifically set to apply only to Dane County, but because of the threshold on population that's set in the bill, that is the only county that it would apply to.
Is that unusual to have something that finely tuned that in effect? I guess sometimes with the bigger city stuff, you think of something that might apply only to Milwaukee City or Milwaukee County.
Sure, yeah, and you'll find that fairly frequently, things that are maybe only going to apply to Milwaukee County or the city of Milwaukee. And in this case, Milwaukee County is big enough for this to apply. It just doesn't have any towns within it.
Talking to Jessie Appoyan from the Capital Times about 40-some pieces of legislation signed into law yesterday, another 50-plus signed in today as Governor Walker catches up with a flurry of late legislative action. This one got some attention. Libraries can now report borrowers who owe money to collection agencies or to law enforcement. So you've got overdue books. I guess libraries can now report you to a collections agency. Was this already happening? Is this something that's new, or is this just kind of clarifying existing practice?
Yeah, so this is they're not going after you know, people who've have a book overdue for a week or so. This is more serious, you know, things that are costing actual money on books being out. So we're talking, you know, a fine of more than $50. They can turn them over to law enforcement, and so this is kind of just clarifying two sort of existing parts of law and saying, here's how this should work. So yes, libraries have contracted with collection agencies in the past or have worked with law enforcement before, but this says everyone can do it. There's no question about the ability to do that.
Now, there are a couple of water-related bills signed into law. What kind of things did we see there?
Yeah, there was one. We've seen a couple bills working their way through the legislature that relate to shoreland zoning. And so this particular bill that was signed yesterday is a companion to another one, and those together would work to set some different standards for siting structures along shores of lakes and rivers throughout the state. They were touted as a property rights package that would allow homeowners and property owners to have a little more control over the structures that are on their properties. Counties would not be able to block those property owners from, you know, building, say, a certain distance from water through their zoning ordinances. And so that one had some concerns among the environmental community, but was also pitched as something that would help property owners. The other bill that we saw related to water dealt with high-capacity wells, and that's another one where there's actually multiple high-capacity wells working their way through the legislative process as well. So this one is slightly less controversial, I believe, than the other one. This one just says any well that's mostly used for fire protection or to provide water to a family residence located on the same property is not classified as a high-capacity well and isn't subjected to some of the potential DNR fees that would be associated with that.
One theme that critics of Republicans have raised is, in reference to that first, that shoreline development legislation you mentioned, is overriding local control. And people have been trying to tally up a series of bills saying, hey, all these measures are examples of the state government overriding local control. Is that an argument you're hearing a lot?
Yeah, that's definitely been one we've been hearing, especially as the session comes to a close. I don't remember what the final tally was, but it was high on this memo that Democrats had put together on how many proposals actually curb local control. And the Republican response to that is they still believe that they're the party of local control, but in some cases it just makes sense for the state to have a set of uniform standards.
And speaking of uniform regulations, there's a law on sex offenders and restrictions on where they can and can't live. What changed there?
Yeah, and that, that again, just gives statewide regulations. So that'll deal with where violent sex offenders can live. That makes it so that a municipality or a local community can't have different zones and different ordinances than the rest of the state.
So that's a lot of legislation. You mentioned more than 50 more signed today. What else was on the table that people were keeping an eye on?
So we don't know what ended up getting signed today, but there's more bills dealing with shoreland zoning, more I'm drawing a blank here. Bills dealing with that, a couple more in that sort of property rights area, And that's kind of what we're going to find out, I guess, what the governor puts out when he lets us know at the end of the day what was involved in that 58-bill package.
100 pieces of legislation, all told, Jesse. You're not intimately familiar with each and every one of them, where they are right now.
Me neither. And now we're moving on to the ones that are going to be coming to the Senate for final approval. So
I'm in the same boat. Yeah, so
motion.
The Assembly is done, so nothing else will come from there. But the Senate is not done. There might be some things still hanging on that they may send to the governor. So we'll be watching for that, right?
Yep, there's still a little motion happening within the next 2 weeks.
All right, we'll leave it there for now. Jesse, thanks a lot for joining us again.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
That's Jesse Apoyan, state government reporter for the Capital Times.
Coming up, we'll talk to a reporter from an Oneida newspaper about how the rise of opiate abuse is affecting the community here in Wisconsin.